Now, some of the best science questions come from children. They're always asking, how does this work? Very quickly, often followed by, but why? And then another, but why? And many more but whys that follow that. Children are naturally attracted to STEM, but some students in remote Indigenous communities are facing barriers because of a lack of resources. In fact, did you know that some remote schools in Australia have only 15 books in their school library? One man decided to do something about this and send science books to rural schools in Australia. A Kilmilleroy man, Corey Tutt, founded Deadly Science, a program that sends STEM books and resources to remote schools and connects young Indigenous students with STEM mentors, among so many other things. Corey has been awarded with many accolades in the last month for his work with Deadly Science, including being named New South Wales Young Australian of the Year for 2020. He's also been awarded on Thursday an AMP Foundation Tomorrow Makers Award and is a semi-finalist in the 7 News Young Achievers Awards in New South Wales. He joins us this morning to tell us all about the incredible work he is doing. Corey, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Tell us about Deadly Science, how it all started and how you got on this journey that you've been on.
Well, it's a long story, but Deadly Science is basically, as a kid, I was often told I couldn't do things and I was sort of pushed into trades and I wanted to be a zookeeper and I was always fascinated about animals. You know, why do they do certain behaviours? Like you look at a blue tongue lizard, why does it have a blue tongue? Well, blue means venomous in the animal kingdom. So there's always a purpose for everything. And I started at the University of Sydney working as an animal technician, but I really wanted to connect with mob because I'm Indigenous. I'm from Kamilaroi country, as you said earlier. But I started talking to the kids about science and you would say, you know, there's a space station up in the sky and there's astronauts up there and they just wouldn't believe you.
Really?
And then, they wouldn't believe it. Yeah. And then you'd show them and it would just intrigue their minds. So I rang up some remote schools and I said, what's your STEM program like and how many books do you have? And I found one school in the NT that only had 15 books in it. So I packed up every book I owned and I shipped it off, and this is how this thing called Deadly Science started. And then it's, you know, evolved from books to telescopes to resources and mentoring as well. We give out little Deadly Junior Scientist Awards, and we're just about empowering young Indigenous people to follow science and, you know, non-Indigenous people as well, because in these remote areas, we have non-Indigenous students that are suffering from the same lack of resources. So it's important that we give the kids the power to believe.
What's the response been like, especially from these kids? I'm sure that they are loving being able to, you know, fill their little spongy brains with all this knowledge. Kids are incredible sponges for knowledge. But what is some of the feedback that you've been receiving?
Well, just on one of the surveys we did, recently we got in one of our schools an 85% attendance for term 4.
Wow.
And we've been able to boost STEM engagement by 25%. Which is huge.
That's enormous.
And it's about giving kids the practical skills and the knowledge. Like, have you ever wanted to make a lava lamp?
I love doing science experiments, especially when I was a kid. And lava lamps were that one thing that always blew my mind. Yeah, so I always wanted to make a lava lamp.
So you can go on Google and you can look up a pretty good recipe. And, you know, we send those out to schools. And last week we had some schools making lava lamps. And how cool is that?
That's so cool. And then learning about the processes behind it and why their lava moves and all that sort of stuff, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then tying it back into, you know, our science as well. You know, we can look at the astronomy. One of your regular presenters, Kirsten Banks, is an expert on this, but we had the world's first fish traps. You know, we used the dark emu in the sky to hunt emu eggs, and that stuff's really amazing. And I feel like, you know, we need to tell that story as well.
Absolutely. And it needs to be intertwined into education, not just in remote communities, but in urban communities, I think, as well, and urban schools as well. What has been some of your favourite parts of the Deadly Science program? Is there something that you've looked at and you've thought, I'm so unbelievably proud of this particular project? Because you've done so much. You send, as you were saying, so many resources to schools and you've connected schools and you've done so much through Deadly Science. But is there anything in particular that kind of warms your heart and makes you warm and fuzzy inside?
There's many things that do that, but I think the only time I've really been affected emotionally was kind of, there's a young girl in one of the schools I work with, and she was on Sorry Business, which she had a very close relative pass away to suicide, and we were worried that she was going to stop going to school. And one of the things we did for term three was we got her a pencil case, we wrote her a letter, we got her some books, and she's now one of the best attenders. And wow. This kid at the start of the year could barely read. She was 9, but she could barely read. But now she's the best reader in the class.
Yeah,
and she's
wow.
teaching other kids to read.
Wow.
And there's many stories like that. But that kind of affected me emotionally because through my childhood, I had a lot of trauma as well. And I know how hard it is. It's very hard, especially if you go through something like that. You know, school's not always a safe place because community is everything. So to be able to go back to school and try your best, it shows a lot of character.
Mm. What would you like to see the future of Deadly Science being? What would be your ultimate wish list goal for the next however many years?
To be honest, I'd one day wish there wasn't a Deadly Science because everyone should have access to these resources. But if I'm going to talk short term, I would like to see every kid have access to a drink bottle or just different science materials. And I think we've got a long way to go and the job's not done yet. But we'll keep ticking along and we'll do our best, and that's all we can do.
How can listeners out there get involved? How can they lend their support and help get these kids all of the resources that they need?
Well, they can jump on the socials and give Deadly Science a big like, and you can follow us on the GoFundMe page. But really, just by sharing it with your friends, if you dig it, you dig it, and if you don't, you don't, that's fine, but you can just share us, and that really helps because it's... You know, there's a science term we like to use. It's called multi-force. So the more people that help out, the more we can get done. And Deadly Science is really about everyone. It's about all the scientists that come out and help us. So we've had a lot of famous help as well. So everyone that contributes to Deadly Science is part of this, you know, part of this change. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. Corey, you're doing incredible work. You do some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll have to leave it there, but really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
That was Corey Tutte, founder of Deadly Science and New South Wales Young Australian of the Year. And to find out more about Deadly Science, you can visit deadlyscience.icu or visit at Deadly Science on Twitter, on the socials. We're going to pop a bunch of links on the podcast at the end of the show if you want to check out more.